Next item on the agenda is Edward H. Bender, formal hearing to appeal the commission's decision to license and locate a pound net, 0031 off Fisherman Island. Mr. Bender?
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Robbins?
I'm going to recuse myself on this matter.
All right. So note by the recording secretary. First of all, let's start out with the origin of this. On May the 12th, the commission received a letter from Mr. Edward H. Bender of Cheriton, Virginia. Edward H. Bender does hereby demand a formal hearing pursuant to the Code of Virginia 28.2216 regarding the proposed issuance of a pound net license between PN, which is for pound net, tag PN0031 and State Gill Net License SG0023. There appears to be a scrival, S-C-R-I-V-A-L, I'm not sure exactly what, is it maybe scribal? Anyway, it's spelled S-C-R-I-V-A-L. Error in the location of the State Gillnet location, and the evidence presented in this complaint matter will show that there is not any between the two above referenced locations to allow a pound net license to be issued. Complainant in this matter would request that a pound net will not be allowed in between the two above referenced locations until this matter has been resolved before the commission. Thank you for your kind attention to this matter. Your complaint, Edward H. Bender, Cheriton, Virginia. This hearing is being held pursuant to Section 28.2216 of the Code of Virginia, and that specifically states, hearings before the commission, any person whose rights, duties, or privileges, including matters relating to licenses, shellfish, planting grounds, or fishing stands have been or may be affected by any action or inaction of the commission or commissioner without formal hearing, may demand in writing a formal hearing of his complaint. The commission shall hold a hearing on the complaint as soon as practicable. All known interested parties shall be afforded an opportunity to be heard before the commission. All persons who have noted their interest in the commission shall be informed of the hearing by first-class mail at least 5 days prior to the scheduled date of the hearing. The notice shall indicate the time and place of the hearing and the issues involved. All parties shall have the opportunity to present evidence and argument. The proponents for any regulation or matter shall be heard first, and then the opponents. The commissioner, if present, or any member of the commission in his absence, shall preside over the hearing. The rules of evidence shall apply insofar as possible. Depositions may be taken and read as in actions at law, and B, the commission or commissioner shall have the power to issue subpoenas and subpoena ducis tecum, and at the request of any party, shall issue such subpoena. The failure of a witness without legal excuse to appear or to testify or to produce documents shall be acted upon by the commission in a manner prescribed in 2.2-4022. As to the timeliness, Mr. Bender was sent a letter on June the 14th. Today's date, for the record, is June the 28th, which indicates, dear Mr. Bender, this will confirm your request for a formal hearing regarding the issuance of a pound net license between pound net 0031 and State Gill Net 0023 is granted. The hearing will be held at the Marine Resources Commission at 2600 Washington Avenue, 4th floor, Newport News, on Tuesday, June 28, 2011, at approximately 2 p.m. For the record, it is 2:45 p.m. All interested parties shall be afforded an opportunity to be heard by the commission. If you have any questions concerning this matter prior to the hearing, please contact Jack Travelstead or my office. Sincerely, Stephen G. Bowman. What we will do this afternoon, Mr. Bender, is you are the petitioner, and you will be heard first. Your petition, it appears, is against or versus the Marine Resources Commission agency. We will hear your testimony. At that point, you will be allowed to ask questions of anyone you so desire as far as cross-examination is concerned. After that, the agency will put its case on. At that time, you will be afforded an opportunity to cross-examine anyone that testifies in that matter. Finally, if there is anyone here that wishes to be heard as an impacted party or an amicus party, for lack of a better term, that is related to this transaction, he or she will also be heard. At the end, you will be afforded an opportunity to rebut anything that's been stated as far as this hearing is concerned. After such time, this matter will be heard by the commission. For the record, I, as chair, will not be voting on the matter unless it comes to a tie vote. I will not be participating in the final vote. So with that, who do you have that you wish to be testifying today And who will you have testifying today in the matter?
Let's know who you want to have testify.
Y'all too. Why don't you do this, Mr. Bender? Why don't you move over to this seat over here where you can probably hear me a little bit better and see me a little bit better. I want to make sure that you can hear. And Mr. Bender, anything I can do to help, let me know. Okay? Who's going to testify on behalf of the agency? Would you please rise? All these parties that's going to testify today, please rise. Mr. Heath, you will be heard? All parties, raise your right hand. You solemnly swear the testimony that you'll be providing today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Okay. Mr. Bender, proceed, please. And you can come to the podium. That'd be easier. Thank you, sir.
I object to you chairing this hearing. I just want to put that in the record.
Would you like to state a grounds, or would you like to state a grounds as to why you object?
Okay, you don't like me. I don't like you. In other words, we've had problems before. The only way I got this hearing was go to court and ask for a restraining order to stop you from hearing, putting this before the commission, which you didn't have the right to do. So,
Okay, your objection is noted. Your objection is noted, but for what it's worth, as far as the record is concerned, it stated early on that the duties of the commissioner under Section 28.2.102 is to serve as chairman of the commission. And I think the fact that I do not intend to vote whatsoever, unless it is a tie vote, indicates my objectivity and fairness. And as far as your other comments are concerned, I'm not going to bother commenting on those. Proceed.
Well.
And state your name for the record, please.
Sorry?
State your name for the record, please.
Edward H. Bender, I'm a commercial fisherman, 81 years old. I've been fishing on the island, Fisherman's Island, since 1970. Now, I'll give you a little history. I think I have a little equity in the trap stand. I've been down there since 1970. I've got one incident that happened before the commission did this to me. Now, back in the 70s, I had a trap. If you all look at the little map on the second page, you'll see Navy Dock on that. Now, I fished a trap about 100 feet from that Navy Dock, south of that Navy Dock, but between Chesapeake Bay Bridge Chisholm and that Navy Dock, about 100 feet. This is before the second bridge was built. At that time, it was only one span going across. To protect that trap, and back then, you didn't have to fish the trap. In other words, you'd get a license for it, but you didn't have to fish. So to protect that trap 100 feet with the Navy Dock, I took up three stands. I had three traps between Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel and the Navy Dock. I had one trap 100 feet from Chesapeake Bay Bridge, north of Chesapeake Bay Bridge. I had another one in between that 100-foot trap and the one at the Navy Dock. Three stands between the Navy Dock and Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel. Now, officer that issues the license, his jurisdiction stops at the Chesapeake Bay Race Tunnel. That's what he doesn't go south of that. When you go south of the Chesapeake Bay Race Tunnel and apply for a trap, it's a different police officer that issues license. So Chesapeake Bay Race Tunnel divides. One officer issues to the north, the other officer issues to the south. So what happened, I was fishing down there, and as it happened, that's the only trap that I had. I was making any money out of it. I mean, if it wasn't for that, I couldn't even, I'd have been out of business. So Mr. Gary Thomas Heath applied for a trap south of his town, which I didn't know it, and he applied to another police officer, which didn't know that I had these three traps on the north side. But his trap, his application was like 1,000 feet south of the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel, so that didn't bother me. Now what happened when he went down to drive that trap, he found he couldn't drive it down. So he moved it. He didn't ask the police officer. Then I moved, didn't write a letter. He moved it on his own.
Mr. Bender, if I can stop, maybe help a little bit with the law that we're dealing with. I probably should have done that earlier on. And he's mentioned a couple distances. Under Section 28.2307 of the Code of Virginia, length of fixed fishing devices, gill nets penalty, it is unlawful for any person to use a single fixed fishing device having a total length greater than 1,200 feet. Clear and obstructed intervals of less than 200 feet shall be maintained between the successive structures, and in the same row and adjoining rows of fishing structures shall be at least 300 yards apart. In addition, a clear passageway of at least 200 feet shall be maintained, reaching from all regular navigable channels to all established boat landings, and all stakes project not less than 4 feet above the surface of the water at all stages of the tide, and any stake not complying with this condition shall be removed by the licensee. And B, it is unlawful to place a net within 300 yards of the side or end of any fixed fishing device unless in the same row.
All right. Now, Mr. Heath moved that trap down 100 feet south of the bridge tunnel. I got a license 100 feet north of the tunnel, or the bridge. So the traps are 200 feet apart. The law requires them to be 900 feet apart. Also, you can't move a trap by regulation without advising your police officer and asking him to be able to move it. Didn't do that. He drove it. When he drove that trap 200, I was down to the Navy dock, which was considerable distance, but when he drove that trap in front of me, I couldn't catch enough fish to buy gas to go down there to fish it. Yeah, I mean, killed it. So I went to court and asked the court for a restraining order to stop Mr. Heath from fishing that because he didn't have a license. He was at unlawfully. And I asked for a temporary restraining order immediately until it could come before the commission and the commission decide what to do about it. And the court gave it to me. To stop Mr. Heath. And then we came on before this commission to decide what to do about it. So what the commission did is let Mr. Heath stay there, fishing in front of him. So nothing I could do, I go to the Supreme Court. I go back to Circuit Court and asked for a restraining order again. He wouldn't give it to me, so I go to Supreme Court. When I get to the Supreme Court, I won the case. Wasn't no question that Mr. Heath was wrong, that he was unlawful. But they didn't give me my restraining order because I didn't make Mr. Heath a party. I made the commission a party, but it didn't make Mr. Heath, so they didn't give it to me. So I came back And I said, well, laws are law. Here we are with two. I got a license for a trap. And we're 100 feet apart. Got to be nigh my law. So I said, I'll drive my trap. So I go down and start driving my trap 100 feet on the north side, this day, 100 feet on the south side. I drove 7 poles in that. And here come the commission men and took my license. We revoked it. I said, oh, it's for safety, public safety. So they took mine and left Mr. Heath there in an unlicensed stand. Now, you know, just back, I mean, it killed me. I mean, if that's is a Preston. I mean, and he's very good. So anyway, what I want is, the only reason I'm saying this is to establish the fact that I've been fishing down there for since 1970, and I fished 100 feet from that Navy dock. Now, that Navy dock rotted off. That was stubble sticking up. And when high water, those stubbles are covered. Now, I've been over topping them twice with a loaded boat because, you know, and I knew I was close. But I was, for some reason, something happened. I find myself over top in the ground. If I'd have come down with a loaded boat, I'd have been sunk. I mean, she took the bottom right off. But I was that close to it. I only did that twice. But it did happen. I'm close. Now, they tell me my license is, the license I hold now for state illness is 900 feet from the West Terminal.
Okay.
Well, I ain't never moved that trap that I've had there from 1970. Always been there. Always fished it there. And I've never moved it.
Let me ask one question, Mr. Bender. Is there any state gill net present now 900 feet from the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel? Do you have that net set?
Not mine. I got a license that says it's there, but I didn't move it there.
But what I'm saying is there a structure right now, okay, I just want to make sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
And also, if you people look at page 2 again, when this map was drawn by the commission, there was only one structure there, and that was the existing pound net, Bender pound net. These Heath pound nets weren't there. They were drawn in by the commission.
Okay, may I ask you one other question? On this, the exhibit that you have provided us, it says existing pound net Bender 4/4/2010. Is that you?
That's my daughter-in-law.
Daughter-in-law? You have an interest in it?
Yes.
Okay, if I might ask, what interest? Is it a monetary or? To perfect the record.
Originally I had all the fish pound licenses. And then the federal government come in about trout, and the commission made a regulation for ways to grow the fish. So what we did, and I did, is divide them up in family so we could fish for trout and still fish our traps. So I gave my wife gave Mr. Tammy.
It's Tammy Bender? That's okay.
Yeah. So I still have them, actually, really. But I don't fish anymore.
May I ask some follow-ups, Mr. Commissioner?
Sure.
Mr. Bender, my name's Paul Kugelman. I'm the agency counsel for VMRC, and I'm just trying to make sure I understand the extent of your interest. If I understand what you've just said, you conveyed the pound net 4/4/2010 to your wife.
Yeah.
And she conveyed it to your daughter-in-law.
And then she conveyed it to Anna.
Okay. And was there any, was your name on any of the conveyances?
Only the original one I conveyed it to my wife.
And that was you conveying it to her?
Yeah.
Completely?
Then my wife conveyed it to Tammy.
Completely?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that's all I need. Thank you, sir.
Yeah. But I have a monetary interest in it. I got an interest in that trap.
Gotcha.
So, we go back now to the front page. This one, where Mr. Chairman denies me a hearing before this commission. And if you look at the second paragraph, the survey shows that that is intervals, 900 feet intervals are correct. And the survey, he sent me a copy of the survey to show that things were correct. And again, when you look at number two, the only structure was the Bender Pound Net. There weren't any heat structures there. But they were drawn in by the commission when this happened. Now, we have another regulation which requires if you want to set a new pound net, you have to make public notice, put it in a local newspaper so the public can read it. You have to give a longitude and latitude of where the structure's going. Also, you have to give the footage from the nearest landmarks. Well, in this case, they use the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel as footage to the proposed traps. Now, I'm not the smartest person in the world, but if I take a newspaper and look at it and they say X person is going to proposed to put a trap on the western shore of Fisherman's Island. I know where that is. And it's going to be 2,000 feet or 4,000 feet. Actually, if you look at page 3, Mr. Heath says he gives a run to the latitude, but he says his first trap is going to be 6,000 feet from the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel, and his second trap is going to be 4,000 feet from Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel. I understand that. But who understands latitude and longitude? The public? That could be an issue as far as they're concerned. They understand the footage from Chesapeake, but they don't understand latitude and longitude. The only way that the public can find out where that trap is to get in a boat that's got GPS and go down there and look at it and say, well, here it is. Public don't do that. The public was told it's going to be 4,000 and 6,000 feet these traps are going to be. Longitude and latitude are put there to help the Marine police officers. When they go down, they got GPS in their boat. They can go there, and they've got their longitude and latitude. They know whose trap it is and where it is. It ain't there for the public. Now, when he put this in the paper, I didn't know it. When Mr. Heath advertised this, Mark did. And Mark come and told me, Kenny, he's going to drive two traps down on Fishman. But he said they're north of us. No, well. So we didn't do anything. But we were duped. I mean, it was fraudulent. We're talking about 4,000 feet for his second trap, which is over a quarter of a mile closer or further away than where he drove it than what the commission gave it to him. The commission gave it to him on longitude and latitude. Over a quarter of a mile. Now that's fraudulent. You've got a regulation that says that the provisions of the that provisions of this regulation must be met. And one of the provisions is that you say how far you're from the land marker. And he put down 4,000 and 6,000. But ain't so. You're a quarter of a mile wrong, both of them. Now, this Mr. Chapman says he's read your law. There must be 900 feet between structures. If you look again at the second page, I took the liberty of drawing a line. I used a ruler, and I got the measure from the bridge tunnel to the X there. It's 6 5/8 inches, which is like 75 feet of being 4,000 feet. And if you also look, that's only like 700 feet from damage trap. But again, when you look at the first page, Mr. Chairman says everything's perfectly lawful, everything's beyond 900 feet. And what I want to know, Mr. Chairman, how did you determine everything is legal? How, if you look, and you sent me a copy of this, if you look on there and read the footage, it says 900 foot to vicinity of my state gill net, 1,469 feet to where the proposed heat trap is going to be. Another 917 feet to Tannis Trap. That's 3,382 feet from the bridge tunnel. Mr. Heath is going to drive at 4,000 feet. Unlawful. That ain't 900 feet. But Mr. Chairman found that is perfectly legal. Therefore, he denied my hearing. No, you can't come for the commission. I mean, everything's perfectly legal. We deny it. Now, only the, I mean, y'all, the man has broken the provisions of the regulation. And that's a crime. That's a class 3 misdemeanor. He must abide by the provisions. He must tell the public where he proposed to go. And he did so. But the thing is, he's over a quarter of a mile off. He don't give this commission 2 locations for his proposed trap. He gives them 4. 4 locations. And the latitude and longitude, as far as the public concern, is meaningless. The public looks at the footage. They know where the bridge tunnel is. They know where Bismarck Isle is. They know where the Western Shore is. And when a man says he's going 4,000 and 6,000, that's what the public looks at.
How would the footage be accurately determined in your mind, Mr. Bender?
Well, I'll tell you how I used to do it.
Please. Now, I don't know how you used to do it. I'm talking about now, with the technology that we have available, within reasonable certainty, how do you determine footage?
There's no problem.
Okay.
If I'm going, what I did when I had those 3 traps that I was talking about earlier, 1970, I got me a little wheel that you roll along. I went down and went on the beach, and I left the bridge tunnel. 100 feet, marked it, went on down, marked my second one and marked my third one, and gave these footages to the officer when I applied for the traps, and that was what put on that. Now, we do pretty well the same thing. You go 900 feet, you cut your piece of rope 900 feet. You go down to the trap that you're going to go next to. You drop an anchor and run 900 feet. And then you go by that. No problem. Drop a buoy. But we got GPS now. We not only use GPS and get the longitude and latitude, we also give the footage from the next structure. We ain't no quarter of a mile off like Mr. Heath was. I mean, that's fraud. I mean, that
I don't know that that's fraud. If you read the application, it says approximately 4,000 on one. It does say 6,000 on the other, but the first one says approximate. And if you remember, Mr. Heath, many years ago, I mean, Mr. Bender, what we ran into from a problematic perspective is, remember the old days when they were making descriptions of pound nets that said, like, by the old oak tree, 200 feet from the pin that's next door? And the descriptions were very, very rudimentary. So the decision was made at that point that we would go and measure each one using GPS and using survey technology, if that's what was available, to make sure that no one encroached on other person's specific stake, get the gill nets and pound nets. That's where the origin of that came from. So I'm just submitting to you that we are using the best technology available to determine distance that's not available to the average citizen at the time that comes up and says from time to time approximately 4,000 feet or whatever. So
we don't say approximately. If you look at this, he says the first net will be located 6,000 feet, and the second one will be located 4,000 feet. That's what the public sees. Public's not interested in this longitude and latitude, which helps your police officers locate them.
Okay.
Public is looking at it will be 4,000 feet, will be 6,000 feet, and that's over a quarter mile off from where the DMRC located track.
Okay.
In other words, I don't see how he did it. I mean, if you look at the map that you gave me and you see 4,000 feet is north of Tammany's trap, but you've got Kenny Heath drawn in between.
May I ask you a question, sir?
Oh, yeah.
Is that all right, Mr. Commissioner?
Sure.
Okay, you have an interest in Tammy's net, you say. And you've done the distances, and you say that the license that the commission issued to Mr. Heath was less than 400 feet away. Isn't that correct? Isn't that what you're saying?
No.
You're saying that the public only uses the distances from the shoreline or the point of the reference point, but not the latitude and longitude, right?
Right.
Let me just finish up. And you're sitting here today telling the commission that with that information, the southernmost, the 4,000-foot net, as advertised, is only 400 feet away from Tammy's net, correct?
No, it's based, I think around 7.
Less than 900 feet. And you didn't come, nobody came from your, Tammy didn't come and protest this at the hearing?
I already said that. We would do. Markham told me that Kenny's going to drive two traps down there, but they're north of us.
But one was 400 feet or less than 900 feet, though. But one was less than 900 feet.
Yeah, but we didn't measure. We weren't bothered with Mr. Heath going north of us with two traps. So we didn't come to a hearing. We didn't check. We didn't. The only reason I'm here now is when we found out where he was going. He wasn't going north. He racked it at trap. He put one on each side of it. And both of them is not where they're advertised to be.
When did you, after speaking with your son, make this first known to anyone at VMRC? This issue that you were concerned?
When I wrote my letter to you, when you got right there.
When did your son come to talk to you and tell you that he thought there might be a problem?
when he found out that Kenny Heath was cutting poles, and he found out that he was going to drive south of him, one on each side, that's when he came to me. That's when I wrote my letter.
So what I'm saying is that this happened long after the notice period had expired. Long time.
Certainly. And the reason for that is because we were duped like the public.
How could you be duped if you didn't have notice?
I know what 4,000, 6,000 feet is.
But you didn't have notice, apparently, before the expiration period of time by the regulation, either by your son or
you
by
know,
you.
This is why I object to your change.
I'm just asking you questions, sir.
I object again to your change.
Your objection is so noted?
Oh, yeah.
If it's noted, no problem. But I'm just asking what I believe to be prudent questions, and I presume that you don't like the fact that I'm asking very relevant questions.
I mean, if you're not going to vote, why don't you just again abstain?
Because it's not my job to do that.
Oh, well, I've told you you should remove yourself, recuse yourself.
Thank you.
And that's so no.
You can proceed.
You have any more questions?
No, have you finished with your case?
Well, I don't think I can say more. I thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bender. Mr. Bender, Jr., do you have some testimony, sir? Would you like to provide? Please.
I'd like to speak.
Sure, absolutely.
Sometime last spring.
What's your name, sir?
For the record.
Mark Bender, Edward Mark Bender. He's my file, if you can't tell. But sometime late last spring or early summer, it come to my attention that Kenny had applied for two stands somewhere on Fisherman's Island. So I went on the VMRC website. I read the website. It said 4,000 feet, 6,000 feet above the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel. I've worked on the water all my life, and I can't say I can pinpoint a half a mile or whatever, but I pretty much understand how far a mile is or whatever. Longitude and latitude, unless I'm in my boat and got it on that, most of the time I keep TDs on my GPS. I really don't use longitude and latitude that much. The only thing I looked at was the 4,000 and 6,000 feet. But also, when he advertised that thing, when you turn one of these applications in for a fixed fishing device, tells you on here, location of device, body of water, county, etc., possible, if possible, longitude and latitude. But then it goes down here below that, it says direction of the nearest permanent landmark. Well, all fish traps in the lower Chesapeake Bay on the western shore side down there are measured from permanent landmarks. You got the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel. You got the Navy Dock on Fisherman's Island. You got Lucy Dixon's property line up there by the America House. You got the Chesapeake State Park. You got Pickett's Harbor Road. Everything is measured off of those things. That's the way it's always been done. So when, you know, then it says down here, it says distance to what, near shore, and who's downstream and upstream of you from where you're applying. Now, if Mr. Heath wanted to make crystal clear where he was applying for, he could have wrote 917 feet south of Tammy Bender, could have wrote 917 feet north of Tammy Bender, or anybody. He didn't put that in there. He put it just as vague as he could be about his application. So the only thing I looked at was 4,000, 6,000 feet. I thought to myself, well, that's north of me. I don't care. Then I learned that due to the fact that since the computer age has come about, when we get our license every year, you get a metal tag, and you get a little printed out piece of paper that goes with it. Well, three out of four of them are probably correct. But you always get one that's misworded, got the wrong figures on it. I got one trap that's 1,000 feet north of the ferry dock. Well, the only ferry dock I ever known down there is Chesapeake State Park. I don't have a trap north of the ferry dock. So these things get misworded. But I know for a fact, I've been fishing with my father since the early 70s, and his state gill net is not 900 feet north of the bridge tunnel. His state gill net is just as close as you can possibly get just south of the government dock.
Are you saying the state gill net stand, the state gill net license, not the net?
His license, the piece of paper that come out from the computer last year.
Understand. I just want to make sure.
It's not printed right.
Okay.
It's misprinted. But we've always been 100 feet south of that permanent landmark, which is the government dock. We've been just as close to it. It'll scare you when you turn the boat around trying to get around the trap. That's where it's always been since the 70s. That's where we fished the pine net at. That's where the state gill net's been fished at. That's where our trap was at. It was turned in for trout. It's all we've held that same location for the purpose of not letting anybody get in front of it. It's always been there. Nobody's ever been able to get in between my daddy's state gill net and my wife's trap till now. The reason that Mr. Ballard told me was that because being it's got that 900 feet on it, which is not where the trap goes. I have a pole drove there for where I say it belongs. It's one pole sticking up right there. It's 100 feet south of the Navy dock. That's where it's always been. And there is not room in there between where that pole's drove and my wife's trap for Mr. Heath being there. It's 100 feet short now. According to your measurements, not mine, your surveyor. Your surveyor says that dock is 1,700. The outermost end of it, the dock runs on an angle. The inshore end of it's a little bit further up the beach. But where everything was measured from that dock is 1,700 feet from the bridge. Daddy's trap should be 1,600 feet north of the bridge or 100 feet south of the Navy dock. That's where his trap is. So, I mean, and as far as I was duped, you say nobody wasn't duped. Well, I was duped just for the fact that Mr. Heath didn't write on there 917 feet south of Tammy Bender. He didn't write on there 900 feet north of Tammy Bender. He just put a vague 4,000, 6,000 feet, and we didn't know. I would have surely been here to protect my rights if I was concerned, but I wasn't concerned because the footage is wrong.
Which
a quarter of a mile.
What piece of paper? Is that your application or is that some other
application? That's just the application I'll fill out.
Have you seen his actual application?
Since 1,000.
I don't know what. No, I haven't seen his application, but I know. I figured what he applied for should be the same thing that he should have advertised.
The ones that I have in front of me, for the record, which I think will be introduced into evidence, say 1,000 feet from Bender.
Well, that wasn't made.
And 1,000 feet from Bender.
Just to make the record clear, the commission's referring to VOMRC number 7 and number 8.
Well, I mean, that's not. I don't have access to his permit. They won't show me his permit. The only thing I can go by is what is printed on your website or in the newspaper.
Okay.
And if he wasn't trying to mislead me, then I say when he made application or made advertisement in a newspaper and on your website, he should have put in there just north of Tammy Bender or just south of Tammy Bender.
Okay.
You know.
Yes, sir.
And I'm just here to say that I've known where that trap is for all my life. Daddy's got state gill net stand. I got a pole driven there. Right now, it's got a license on it. And it's not room in there. It's never been room in there. So, other than that, I do feel like I was due to it.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Travelstead?
Let me ask you, do you want me to put all of this... the information I've supplied into evidence, all of these documents, or
they need to be if they're going to be considered on the record.
Well, I can take you through this then, and you have copies.
I need you to introduce them, and I need to receive them into record.
And let me make sure that Mr. Bender has a copy so he can follow along.
Do you want to make a ruling on whether or not Bender tendered? That it's been accepted in evidence without objection. Make that part of the record. That's the letters and the drawings
of the deed. Yeah. While you're doing that, Jack, for the record, let the record reflect that we have received this packet from Mr. Bender, so noted as petitioner's number one. It is a 4-page document that contains two letters signed by me and one map and one of what appears to be a notice of the pound net advertisement.
Thank you. Okay. I guess I'll start at the beginning, just as Mr. Bender did, and indicate that on May 12th, the commission received Mr. Bender's letter seeking a formal hearing pursuant to 28.2-216, noting a complaint about distances between PoundNet 0031 and State GillNet SG0023. That is document VMRC1. The commissioner responded to that letter on May 18th, indicating that he had essentially called for a survey of the distances between those nets and found that the distances met the requirements of law, that is the 900-foot minimum, and based on that, denied his request for a public hearing. Attached to that letter was a copy of the survey that was done by staff, and those folks are here if you want to call on them. That survey is VMRC number 3, and it is based on the licensed location of Mr. Bender's State GillNet, which reads that it's 900 feet north of the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel. The map indicates vicinity because that net is not now set. And it shows that the distance between that State GillNet and Mr. Heath's net located at the latitude and longitude is 1,465 feet.
And the regulation requires what distance?
The law requires 900 feet minimum. VMRC number 4 is a second letter from the commissioner to Mr. Bender granting him a formal hearing on the matter. That was dated June 14th. And then we provide you with VMRC number 5, which is Mr. Bender's request to enlarge his lawsuit and a motion to restrain Mr. Heath from setting his net. Mr. Bender notes the discrepancies in the notice of Mr. Heath in terms of straight line distances and latitudes and longitudes. And if you look at VMRC number 6, that is a copy of the notice that was prepared by this agency based on Mr. Heath's application. The way the process works is the applicant provides us with a description of where he proposes to put that net. We craft a notice from that information, return it back to the applicant, and he is required by law to put it in the newspaper for one day in the local area where the net is to be set. It wasn't until we made it through the process that we noted that the distances, the straight line distances, did not correspond to the latitudes and longitudes where the net was described to be. You have VMRC 7 and 8, which are Mr. Heath's actual applications, which have already been noted here today. And you can see the latitudes and longitudes he provides and the distances are what you just saw in the previous notice. Question, and I guess the commission during the public comment period, the 30-day public comment period that Mr. Heath had to go through to locate these nets at a new location, the agency received almost a dozen, I want to say, letters of public comment protesting those locations. Most of them came from recreational fishermen who fish in that area and were worried about, and you have a copy of those letters in VMRC number 14. commission, based on those letters of protest, did hold a public hearing on the issue of issuing Mr. Heath those two licenses. It was held on July 27th, 2010.
Was that public hearing so noted on the published agenda?
It was. The matter was heard before the commission. The only public comment that was taken during that meeting was from Mr. Heath himself. And following that, the commission approved the nets at the latitudes and longitudes that were noted in the notice. There were maps that were shown to the commission during that public hearing, and you'll find that chart under VMRC 14 that shows the locations of the nets being on both sides of the Tammy Bender pound net.
During the course of the comment period, did you ever hear from Mr. Bender or either Mr. Bender's?
I did not. The VMRC 15 is the summary minutes of the public hearing that was held. And you'll see that the action of the commission. Let me then draw your attention to VMRC number 13, which is this survey that was prepared at a later date by staff. Let me see if I can't get it. That's a little bit better.
Before we go any further, Mr. Rogers, come forward, please. You've been previously sworn. Can you state your name for the record, please?
Paul N. Rogers.
Where are you employed?
Bellhaven Field Office.
For what agency?
Marine Resource Commission.
What is your job?
I'm a surveyor for the Eastern Shore area.
What type? Are you a certified licensed surveyor?
I am not licensed.
You're not licensed. How long have you worked for the agency?
17 years.
During the course, does this look familiar to you?
Yes, sir.
Did you conduct this survey?
Yes, sir.
Okay. In conducting the survey, what did you use the latest technology that you believe is available provided to you?
Basically, took the numbers that were provided by law enforcement and put them on the map.
Okay. Who brought you the numbers as far as the law enforcement was concerned? Okay. Further questions?
Did you produce this document, sir?
Yes, sir.
And is this something that you produce in the ordinary course of business for
yes,
VMRC?
Yes.
And is it a record that you would keep for VMRC?
Yes, sir, it is.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Bender, do you have any questions? Do you have any questions of Mr. Rogers?
I sure do.
Go ahead.
Mr. Harrison, when you did the survey, you were given longitude, latitude.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Now, did they tell you that Mr. Heath's application was closer to where these nets are going, 4,000 and 6,000 feet from where it comes?
Yes, sir, they did.
Well, didn't you find a discrepancy? Mm-hmm. Your figures showed that that 4,000 and 6,000 feet are a quarter mile or a quarter mile north.
Mr. Bender, can you move closer to the microphone so she can get it on record?
Again, why didn't you note this discrepancy? Public notice said 4,000, 6,000 feet, but VMRC comes along and finds out they're not 4,000, 6,000. They're a long way from it.
We use latitude and longitude, Mr. Bender.
Huh?
We use latitude and longitude, Mr. Bender.
For the help of the police officers in determining
the way. Yes, sir, for mapping purposes also.
But the public don't know what longitude. The public goes by the public notice, what's put in the paper. Mr. Heath says they will be 4,000, 6,000 feet. And you knew that.
He also says they will be at this latitude and longitude.
Right. So you've got four different locations for two traps. So you have multiple choice. BMRC chooses longitude and latitude. The public doesn't know that. That's the reason I wasn't here. I went by the public notice 4,000, 6,000. I didn't got no GPS. I didn't go down in no boat to look at it. I know where Fishman's Island is. I know.
Mr. Bender, you'll be afforded an opportunity to make closing argument. You're fine.
I just want to know that you were aware that was supposed to be 4,000, 6,000, and you knew it was.
Mr. Rogers, one further question. The map that you designed was based on latitude and longitude. Is that correct? All right, thank you.
May I?
Yes, you may.
Just one further question, sir. What prompted you to make this?
I was at the request of law enforcement to put something on paper so we could physically see where things were.
Do you remember when? What date, roughly?
We started back in April of 2010 when we got the initial application from Mr. Heath, when we got both applications.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir. That's all I needed to know.
What? One more. Do you have personal knowledge? Come back, Mr. Rogers. Who in law enforcement provided you those numbers?
Sergeant Mallard.
Okay. All right. No further. Thank you. Go ahead.
Sergeant Ballard has better knowledge of the history of this than I do, so at some point you should call on him.
But bring him down.
I'll take you through the rest of the information that that we have. You have also in the package VMRC 9 and 10, which is the current license of Mr. Bender. And it shows that his state gill net is located 900 feet north of the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel. And that description goes back a couple of years if you follow it back through the record. And Officer Bowden can speak to that more definitively than I can. And that's why you see this point here from which Mr. Rogers measured the distances. Based on his license language that shows his state gill net should be 900 feet north. The other record we have is VMRC 11 and 12, which shows the license record of Tammy Taylor Bender, who's the owner of this pound net here on the survey. And it shows that her net should be located 1,000 feet north of the Navy dock. In fact, that's not where her net is located, and we didn't realize that until this survey was completed.
Where is it?
This point right here is where her license says her net should be located. That's 1,000 feet from the Navy dock, which is this structure here. It, in fact, is located up here and apparently has been located there for a period of years. That's where the structure is now. And, again, if you compare where it is now to the Heath net, it meets the 900-foot requirement. It's 917. And again, the distance between Mr. Bender's net and the Heath is 1450. So I think that covers all of the documents we've provided you. But again, Sergeant Ballard, I think, can provide you with more information.
Mr. Bender, do you have any questions of Mr. Travelstead? Yes, sir.
You say Tammy's trap is like 600 feet from where there was a license calls for 1,000, and it's like 1,600 feet.
Correct.
How long has Tammy's trap been there in that location?
I don't know, and I think that's why we need to hear from Sergeant Ballard. He can answer that. I can't.
I don't know. creosote poles have been driven over 5 years, which has never been moved, and we've had poles there prior to that trap has been in that location, same location, 7 or 8 years.
And I think that's what Sergeant Ballard will tell you.
Can I ask Mr. Travis any questions?
There was a question pending. Somebody wanted. You want to ask Mr.
Can I ask him one question?
That's up to the commissioner.
No, sir. You can't, because he's the petitioner and he has the right to cross examine. And then it says, according to the law, that I should follow the rules of evidence as close as possible. That's what I'm doing.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You're welcome, Mr. Bender. Sergeant Ballard. Sergeant Ballard, state your name for the record, please.
Bruce Ballard.
How long have you been employed with the agency?
15 years.
In the capacity of first sergeant, what's your responsibilities? Do you supervise individuals?
Yes, sir, I do.
What else? What other duties do you have?
Responsible for the townnet fixed fishing devices licensed in District 24, which this encompasses.
What can you tell me about the situation?
That on April the 8th of 2010, Mr. Kenny Heath applied for two locations on Fisherman's Island. He came into the office with latitude and longitudes, wanted us to verify there was enough room for those licenses before he went any farther. He gave us the locations. We put them on a chart, or I should say Mr. Rogers, surveying engineer, he put them on a chart. There's enough room in there.
Is that a normal course of action? If somebody wants to do an inquiry before they file an application, is it a normal course of duty that y'all...
Yes, sir, especially now that it's a pound that's sitting review that comes before the entire commission. I just don't do it like it used to be. We took care of it ourselves. Now the commission has to approve any new location, so it has to come before you people.
Continue.
He came in, like I say, we checked the application, everything looked good. He left. That was on, like I say, April the 8th. On April 28th, I received a phone call from Mr. Mark Bender. He said, I understand Kenny, he's putting some pound nets down on Fisherman's Island. He said, don't forget about Daddy's gill net stand, 900 feet north of the bridge tunnel. I said, no problem. We've looked at it. Doesn't interfere with it. Thank you.
You told Mr. Bender that?
Mr. Mark Bender, yes, sir.
Okay.
That was the end of it. Paperwork was sent to Mr. Travelstead's office. It was heard before the commission. It was approved. Mr. Heath waited until this here just recently to install the pound net, and that's when Mr. Bender then came to the office or called me, upset about the locations. He didn't believe it was properly advertised.
The numbers that were utilized to draft this document, where did they come from?
It came from locations that myself and Officer Haney had done, and also numbers from Officer Andy Dunton on the day after Mr. Bender complained. We sent him down there to verify the locations. That was on May the 9th, 2011. He went down, GPS, got the coordinates for the Navy dock that's in question and the location of Tammy Bender's pound net. They were provided. Mr. Rogers also placed them on a chart, and that's when we discovered that the Tammy Bender trap had been moved 569 feet to the north. We weren't aware of it until then.
When Tammy Bender applied for her pound net license, did you take that application?
It was a transfer of an existing location.
Transfer of an existing location, okay.
Yes, sir. It was originally Arthur Peter Bender's, the other son.
Okay. Were you present when that transfer occurred?
It's a matter of filling out a form or
sending it in,
calling, yes, or saying that, you know, once he's out of the business, we want to transfer his license to us. I have a letter from Peter Bender dated March the 14th, stating that he wanted to transfer his devices to Edward H. Bender, Elizabeth Bender, and, excuse me, Elizabeth Bender, his mother, and Edward H. Bender.
Sure.
As far as the location, Mr. Bender spoke about the big trap being there. Yes, sir, it's been there. We have no reason to recheck the numbers because there's no conflict. Everything is, there's no reason. We took him. Each year he sent a renewal form. We ask him, is everything correct and true? Yes, sir, everything's the same. Nothing's been changed. He signs it, sends it back. We authorize it. It's renewed at one of our agents.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Do you have any questions of Sergeant Ballard? Mr. Bender.
BMR 67.
Mr. Heath doesn't turn them into me. He sends them to Mr. Travelstead.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Okay. You get them eventually because you have to check them.
I get them, yes, sir, when they're approved, after the commission has approved or denied them.
So in here is 6,000 feet from Chesapeake Bay.
Yes, sir, that's what it says. Yes, sir.
4,000.
Yes, sir, that's what it says.
Now, you're aware of what the BMRC regulation on public notices?
I'm aware of the pound net setting, yes, sir, as far as requirements, yes, sir.
Was it required?
They require a physical location as well as lat and long, notifying adjacent property owners and so forth.
You checked this to see where it was
located? No, sir. I checked the lat and long to verify they weren't interfering with any other fixed fishing devices.
My question is, you checked it, the surveyor checked it, and all the police officers, he checked it, and all of you knew that Heath's trap was supposed to be 4,000 and 6,000 feet. And when you got your longitude and latitude, you also can tell how many feet it is away from the bridge tunnel.
Yes, sir.
You said, okay?
Yes.
So where did this big discrepancy come from? How come when you all found out that these applications were over a quarter of a mile off? How come nobody said nothing?
I believe it says approximate distances.
Not what is that?
I'm dealing with this application, Mr. Bender. And the distance of 6,000 feet was actually 4,620 feet. On the 4,000-foot location, it was 2,470 feet, actual measurement.
Did that say approximate?
This nearest permanent landmark.
Yeah. 6,000 feet.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. 4,000.
Yes, sir.
On your all's website. This is the public notice that's put in the paper.
Okay, sir.
Now, what you say the first net will be located?
6,000 feet north of Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel.
That's what it can
37
be.
Degrees.
Put in the paper.
Left long, yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. And then?
6,000 feet.
Will be that.
Yes, sir.
But it wasn't there.
That's the flat long.
Now, we go to the regulation, back to the regulation. You got four different locations for a proposed net, and you're aware of
it. I'm aware of the lat and long is what
and we're you're also doing. Aware of the feet.
Yes, sir.
Said so. So you know it's a big discrepancy. Instead of two locations, you got four locations.
If he decides he doesn't know
and that is unlawful. That doesn't meet the provisions of public notice. The public was duped, and it's fraudulent.
Thanks, Sergeant Ballard.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Heath, at this time, you can be heard if you desire to be heard. If you desire not to be heard, it's totally up to you. I will advise you this. If you are heard, you are subject to cross-examination by Mr. Bender.
That'd be fine. My name's Kenneth Heath. I'm a pioneer on Eastern Shore.
What can you tell us about this? What would you like to tell us about this?
Last spring, I decided I'm going to put some traps on Fisherman's Island. I called Bruce and got the locations
Bruce
of where...
Bruce would be whom?
Mr. Ballard, the officer.
Thank you.
And I got the locations from him of where Bender's existing traps were on Fisherman's Island. I told him that if it was room, I wanted to put one 1,000 feet north and 1,000 feet south of Bender's existing trap that was there, which is the one that's considered to be Tammy Bender's trap. It's the only thing that's ever been drove down there. Nothing else had ever been visible. So he told me there was room for a trap south and north of it. So I took me and one of my employees down there with a tape measure, 100-foot tape measure, and a GPS. I measured south from Bender's or Tammy's trap 1,000 feet. And when I got to that 1,000 feet, I took my GPS readings and wrote them down because Bruce said, Mr. Ballard, the officer said, that's what I needed to provide him was the GPS readings. I never measured from the bridge going north to my location that I applied for, either one of them. I weren't told I had to give that. I deducted the 1,000 feet from numbers that I don't know where they came from. I thought Mr. Ballard gave them to me. That's where I thought I got the numbers from. Now, whether they were, I'm not sure. We can't seem to come up with them. But the GPS readings that I gave for the two locations are on the spot. That's where they're supposed to be at.
And how do you know they're on the spot?
I've been back to them again.
I mean, how many times? Numerous times?
I've measured that beach 3 times. My wife's mad with me now because I went and measured again last Sunday. It's no, without a doubt, plenty of room down there. My brother and father both had traps on Fisherman's Island, where south of the government dock, and I don't know how they go back saying they were back in the 70s having traps there. They had some there, but my brother Wayne Heath had traps there. My father had traps there when I was a kid. So, I mean, it's back in the 70s, I was 8 years old. So it was, my father had traps, my brothers had traps there. So they weren't back that far, and his traps has been given up, and then they've applied. So I don't know. I certainly can read a GPS. Mr. Bender sent me 3 letters in the past 2 weeks that a fine lawyer could have wrote up. Couldn't have done any better, but yet he can't read a GPS. I find that a little hard to believe. But years ago, we went through the same mess on measuring traps, and
what do you mean we went through?
As Bruce and all the people that are fishing pioneer, we experimented with a wheel. We used to measure with a wheel. A wheel will not work. It will not give you an accurate measurement. When you roll the wheel across the beach, I'm sure that y'all have been on beaches a many time. They have ripples in them, and if you roll that wheel. That wheel is doing just like this, up and down that beach on every ripple. And the distances will come up shorter than they actually appear. If you pull a tape measure, it'll give you a more accurate, because it's pulling more in a straight line. It won't drop down into the gullies as much. But the GPS is the best to do. And I hope that after this ordeal is over, that you all will pass something else so that Mr. Rogers would have to come out and survey and pinpoint a location so that when the pioneers are applied for or put in location, that he depicts the spot that they go in instead of leaving it up to the layman, the waterman, to measure and determine the location. If you go to buy oyster grind or rent oyster grind from the state, they go out, survey it, they set the corners, make a plat, and you pay for the survey. I'll be more than glad to pay for the survey to find out my locations on my pine nets.
Mr. Bender, do you have any questions of Mr. Heath?
Oh, yeah. You say that you roll a wheel down the beach, you go up and down, not accurate. Do you think
Could you respond to the question, please, Mr. Teeth? It's got to be on record.
Yeah, it's not accurate.
Do you think you'd get a quarter of a mile off?
I'm not a quarter of a mile off.
You are, by what you said, when you said 4,000, 6,000 feet, you're over a quarter of a mile off.
If I measure from the south, the original Chesapeake Bay Bridge and Tunnel, which is the south span, I am less than 1,000 feet off, according to the, just as Tanner Bender's trap is 567 feet off.
I'll bet you every trap in the bay is off.
Exactly.
Not a quarter of a mile.
I do not argue that point. I agree.
Another thing you said, you didn't understand that you were supposed to put the footage, but you did it twice. You did it in the public notice, 4,000, 6,000. You did it on your average, 4,000, 6,000. You did it four times, 4,000, 6,000. And that's over a quarter of a mile from where you put your trap.
Mr. Bender, are you finished with your questions of Mr. Heath? Are you finished with your questions of Mr. Heath?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Never mind then.
Thank you, Mr. Heath. Mr. Bender, you now have a time to rebut or wrap up your case.
The only thing I can say, we've shown here today that these traps were no public notification that it would be 4,000, 6,000 feet, and that's required by this commission's regulation. And if you don't meet those provisions, it's a Class 3 misdemeanor. It's a crime. Now, the public looked at the public notice, 4,000, 6,000. They're over a quarter of a mile off. That's why we didn't come before this commission and make a complaint originally, because we went by the 4,000, 6,000 feet. Mr. Heath said, I should be able to reach GPS. Oh, yeah, I can. I go way back to the Lorans. I can read them. I had no reason to go down there and take a GPS reading longitude, latitude, when it said 4,000, 6,000 feet. Public notice, I knew what that was. Why should I go down there? The public was duped with this 4,000, 6,000 feet in its public notice. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bender. Well, in this situation, Mr. Bender is advocating for the public. But I think the evidence, I'll move it along one step at a time and then open for questions by members of the commission. It's obvious by the testimony that's on the record, neither Mr. Bender or anyone else whose last name Bender contacted this agency or contacted anyone pursuant to this specific notice that he keeps referring to. The comment time went by. There was absolutely no objection noted during that period of time. The agency then proceeded, based on the latitude and longitude that was provided, to issue the license after a public hearing. Keep in mind, the public hearing was noticed on the agenda as well on the website. You heard Mr. Bender's. Understood. And you have the right, if I've said something wrong along the way, you have the right to retort it. I'm not going to vote. I'm making the closing.
Tell these people how you feel about it.
I'm just stating the facts to wrap up the case. If I'm wrong, let me know. The facts are that neither Mr. Bender responded to the public notice. The facts are that the PowNet sighting and the approval was based, correctly so, as Mr. Benders noted, not on the description, but more specifically on the latitude and longitude that was provided. After we received information from Mr. Bender that even after the fact that he believed that these were improperly sighted, the agency did a diligent search and a diligent examination to determine whether or not Mr. Heath's net was in violation of the established law that requires it to be 300 yards apart from fixed fishing device from fixed fishing device. It's not the case. You look even further, the state gill net that's referred to that Mr. Bender indicates that he is aggrieved by is not even set. The fixed fishing device is not there. Furthermore, you listen to Mr. Bender, he tells you that the pound net to the south is by all indications and by all evidence on the record, not Mr. Bender's. He says he has an interest in it. He's not specifically told us what the interest is, but the bottom line is it's Tammy Bender's net. And Tammy Bender is not here petitioning this agency for relief on this matter. So I would say at the present time that the nets are in, and that's what we're looking at, the nets are in compliance with the established law, and the agency has done everything it possibly can to do a due diligence to ensure that there's no violation. I can assure you, had that net, from an agency head perspective, been in violation of the established law, Mr. Heath would be receiving a notice immediately to remove the net, plain and simple. He could then appeal that decision of mine to the commission, and the commission could then decide whether it would be removed or not. It has nothing to do with Mr. Bender personally. It has nothing to do with Mr. Heath personally. It has to do with what's on that screen right there, and that's a survey conducted with latitude and longitude, the best technology available through GPS, that was conducted by law enforcement and Paul Rogers. The matter's before the commission for discussion and action.
Somebody's got to
start. Mr. Bell?
Somebody's got to start. I don't think anybody really wants to, but I'd like to get home tonight. Mr. Bender stated that he used a wheel and rolled down the beach to get his measurements, but yet his trap is 600 foot away from where he said it was. So if you can make that much of a mistake using a measuring wheel, and the truth of the matter is, if his trap was located in the actual 1,000 foot from the old dock, Mr. Heath couldn't have that net there. There wouldn't have been enough room. He'd been short on it. So if this trap was actually set, and I'm going to agree with both of them, I don't imagine there's hardly any traps in the bay unless they're recent ones that are where they say to. We just went through something several years ago with Virginia Beach, and none of those traps. And, I mean, and that was the easy place really to identify, because you had streets that came all the way down to the water, and they were still way off. I have GPS. I keep mine on TDs, too. Seldom do I use it on it, but I have two. I have a chart plotter also. If I was out there, even if I have it on TDs, I was thinking, hey, where's 4,000 feet? You punch in a waypoint at the bridge tunnel? You sail north, and it's going to tell you how far you are away from it. So I think the public has to go with latitude and longitude. And the sad thing is, you know, I think Mr. Bender, I don't know if he has standing because it's not his trap, but I think the downside would be his is actually 600 foot away from what he stated. So I'm just using that as saying that mistakes are made. Mr. Heath's application, I don't know. Can the general public see a copy of it?
Sure, every document's open.
I thought it was. You can.
I've asked Mr. Ballard for a copy of somebody's application before, and he wouldn't show them to me because he told me I didn't have any right to see it.
I referred him to Newport News, new Social Security number, date of birth.
You know, what I would do in a case like that, Mr. Bowers just explained it, if he actually said that and just stopped and said, no, you can't have it, I would ask Mr. Bowman. If I didn't get satisfaction from him, he answers to the secretary. I mean, you know, there is a way you can go forward. I thought they were common knowledge. I really did. And these two applications, which you probably didn't see until today, evidently, state 1,000 foot on either side of your net. And they are the original applications. I don't see any criminal intent for misleading people where the nets are when he states right on the application that they're 1,000 foot on either side. You know,
if he was trying to, and when you place stuff in the paper, you put stuff in the paper that VMRC wants you to put in there, basically. So he's made the application to VMRC. VMRC says you have to advertise this. He advertised it. I think it was given plenty of time for people to address. Like I say, if it wasn't the fact that so many pine nets are off of where they say they are, I think, you know, maybe I'd be interested in trying to do a little something. But in a case like this, we know 1,000 foot on the water is nothing. You know, when I look at something, and I'm very good at judging distances because, you know, I've fished nets all my life. I can tell you if 50 foot of my net's missing, I know 50 foot of my net's missing. But for you to judge 4,000 feet, and if you do use, like Mr. Heath said, if you use these pine nets, some of them go back for years. Yours went back to 70, 71. What you had to use was the old bridge tunnel because that's all that was there. There wasn't a new span. So I don't see where there was any real attempt on Mr. Heath's part to fool anybody. I'm just sad that y'all weren't here. You know, you might have been able to address it. And the worst thing is, if the pine net, Mrs. Bender's pine net was actually where it says on the application, we wouldn't even be here because he would have found out that he couldn't set it. So I don't see how, you know. I'm not willing to do a whole lot with the evidence that's been presented to us. I think he's clearly more than 900 foot. Do I think it's far enough? It doesn't make any difference. The law says 900 foot. So what we think collectively doesn't make a bit of difference at all. The law says 900 foot, and if you go to court and he can prove it's 900 and some foot away, I don't see how we could do anything that we could legally defend outside of what's already been done.
Further comment, Mr. Schick, and then Mr. Tankard.
As far as even if there was an accurate measurement from the Bay Bridge and everything else was the way it was supposed to be, it's all within legal distances. And maybe somebody might not like it, but we would have come to the same conclusion. So the fact that these distances weren't quite as accurate as some people would like, that's unfortunate. But the GPS coordinates were accurate. And when I'm on the river, I know when I see a GPS coordinate, I know about where that is. I don't know exactly where it is, but I have a good idea. I read a map. I know you can take any map out and you can plot a GPS coordinate lat on it, and you know where it is. So if something was in the area of where my facility is, and I recognize those coordinates, I'm going to get out a map, and I'm going to take the GPS, the lawn lat. You know, I'm going to do both of those things and find out how it affects me. In this case, even if Mr. Bender had come here, I can't see how that would change our opinions, or at least mine. I can only speak for myself. So. I just don't see any merit to see that somebody intentionally tried to defraud the department or the government or the public in general.
Mr. Tankard?
You know, one of the things you got to say to yourself, my sort of layman's term, is if you don't know somebody's aiming at you, you don't duck. The Benders, they make some, you know, we have 4,000, 6,000, we have a land-based idea of where these nets go so that people can understand where they're going to be in relative to their situation, so they know if somebody's aiming at them, they can duck. But it seems to me, from when you look at this, 4,000, 6,000 is pretty off. And it was key to their fishing the net, as Mr. Bender mentioned, that if he had known somebody was going to be south of him, he'd be protesting. And so what gives me heartburn is this,
you know, we're doing halfway in the law. We've got longitude, latitude, which, you know, the public certainly doesn't use those, and I'm surprised that Mr. Bender doesn't, but he doesn't. And that part of the law was fulfilled. That part of the process was fulfilled. But the other part, 4,000 or 6,000, was off. I that's where I have my issue is, you know, if we've got laws and we've got process, we got to stick to them. And, you know, I think that, you know, the most clairvoyant thing was said today, I thought, was Mr. Heath said that we should depict the spot with a survey. I mean, these nets are important to people, and where they go is important. And, you know, I think because they're important, we should be hitting both fragments, both pieces of the law, which would be both latitude, longitude, and distance, the footage that we say they're going to be from whatever spot that's relative landward to those positions. So I don't know, you know, guys, gentlemen, it's a tough one, and I don't have a decision for you or a motion right now, but that's my perspective at this moment.
Further comment? Matters before the commission for action.
I have a question.
Sure.
Do we need action, or is inaction the same thing?
Inaction is the same thing. Is there a motion? Is there a motion?
What would that motion be at this point?
You can move to grant Mr. Bender's petition. You can move to reject Mr. Bender's petition and find that things where the way they were conducted are lawful and appropriate. Or no action. Counsel, I'll refer to you. Status quo? Or do you prefer a motion?
If I may, just to...
Sure.
Sections 28.2-217 and 218 do not require expressly the commission reach the conclusion. It seems implicit in the statutes that the commission shall issue a decision based on the evidence received at the hearing.
So you think we need a motion?
Yes, sir.
Matters
because
before
it's
the commission.
A formal hearing.
Mr. Lane?
I move we deny Mr. Bender's motion for relief.
Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Second by Mr. Schick. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Opposed.
Yeah.
One, two, three, four, five.
What's that?
How did you vote?
In support.
In favor. 5-1, motion carries. Thank you very much. Petition denied.